Welcome to DT Madness, Chronicles from the Third Life, episode 86, March 30th, 2024. So glad you could make it. I'm not a huge Eric Church guy, but I do like his hit song. Maybe he's got another hit song, but I know a lot of people know Springsteen. The live version is my favorite of that song, and where he gets to talking a little bit, where he talks about being on the lawn there in Charlotte, North Carolina. He remembers the way the grass smelt. Remembers the way the beer tastes from the old couple that he stole it from down the lawn. But what he does then is he connects a melody with a memory. And that's what this episode is all about. I made a playlist some weeks ago called 1978, the year I was born. And I try to think about the different songs that that I listen to even still, but that songs that evoke a particular memory, ones that kind of flash in my mind when I hear the song. Some of them more vivid than others. I'm actually watching the version of Hamilton that's on Disney Plus and thinking back to that time in Chicago where the Gucci fam got to go check that out and how impressive that performance really is, especially when General Washington comes in for the first time. That was the part that got me. But anyway, Springsteen isn't on the list, but that does capture and frame this episode, Melodies and Memories. I thought about going with the shuffled version and just shuffle the playlist and see how it shook out, and then talking through the stories that way, because I think that's probably more akin to how time really works. More and more convinced that time isn't linear. I'm going to go in order from earliest memories that I can manage to the later ones. And I didn't put all of the songs that are on the playlist on this episode, a couple of them. There's one, Don't Let Go, Jerry Garcia Band, that runs about 18 minutes, brings back a good memory from down in the basement of a lake house celebrating my friend Jane's birthday. But yeah, some of the stuff is not for the air. What we will start with is the Oak Ridge Boys. And I think about the Oak Ridge Boys, just their gospel albums in particular, but all of the Oak Ridge Boys. And I think there was a group called the Kingsmen, maybe. Just thinking about my dad and how he would blast records. I mean, he had records going on for a while. It took him a while to move into CDs. He called them plastic records, and he held out as long as he could. I get my desire to take arbitrary stands honest, because he would definitely do that. But I think about all the things that he made in his wood shop, but just the smell of the sawdust. I was in the hallway at school just the other day, and whatever they were working on construction wise, or maybe it was just in the wood shop, and the carpentry classes, but I smelled that burnt wood smell of like wood that's just getting freshly sawn, you know, and I kept walking outside into the hallway just to smell that, because it took me back to that old wood shop that my dad would have mounds and mounds of sawdust just laying around. But and I think about like Don McLean's American Pie, as well as Edie Brickell. You know, my dad loved this one song, Edie Brickell, called, what is it? I Quit. Is that the name of the song? I Quit, I Give Up. You know, Philosophy is a Smile on a, or what is it, the words on a cereal box. Anyway, because that album, Born on the 4th of July, it's a that movie soundtrack. We had the white cassette tape, and I think that it must have been in the gray Escort that I ended up driving. I don't think it would have been in the blue Escort because I doubt the blue one had a cassette player in it. So as I try to piece these memories together, but I just think about listening to that tape, that cassette, which had American Pie on it, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, I believe, the Edie Brickell song, maybe I mean, obviously some other ones that, but those are the ones that stick out. And we would drive down to Gaffney, just across the state line here in Cleveland County, down to Gaffney to usually spend a day of the weekend. I guess Sunday after my granddaddy would be finished preaching, and we'd go down to Gaffney and spend the day. And I think about that. The second, or you know, the second kind of list here, the second item on the list is Islands in the Stream by Kenny and Dolly. And that one takes me to my mom, you know, because she's always loved Dolly Parton, and not has not a not so secret affinity for Kenny Rogers. I think Kenny Rogers came to Gardner Webb at some point while maybe she was in as a student or at some point anyway. But that Islands in the Stream just kind of takes me back to my mom playing those records, but also of course the Kenny and Dolly Christmas album. I could have put that on here, but I didn't really want to listen to on this playlist. So, but just, you know, man, all the times that she was hooting and hollering and getting all crazy at sports games and putting her juju on the, you know, for us to win and for the other team maybe to lose, you know, and those kinds of things. I guess it didn't work too good for her, the Tar Heels last night, but I do think about all those times, like walking up to the business office and hanging out with her and, you know, Jane and Cindy and Miss Lutz, Carolyn and, Shirley Pyron, all those people. And that takes me to mountain music with Alabama, because I don't know. I remember going with Melvin Joanne, that's her name, not Carolyn, with Joanne and Melvin Lutz to see Alabama. I think it was, I don't know. I saw him at my dad's funeral and I asked him about where that was. I think I'd always thought it was Gaffney, but maybe it was somewhere around upstate South Carolina. But I do kind of remember going to see Alabama as my first concert. I don't know how old I would have been at that point, but again, like take me down. I would argue Alabama as the greatest, certainly country group, period, you know, period. And so I don't know, like, but anyway, then staying in that same era, Rod Stewart's Maggie May, Wake Up Maggie. Oh man, that's that one takes me back to our neighbor's aunt, my neighbor Ansel Harmon. Ansel passed away, I don't know, probably a decade ago now. Ansel was a great dude, man. As far as I know, he was kind of like my second dad. Not kind of like, he was my second dad growing up, and you know, would always take me and his son Jerry to shoot basketball or hit baseballs. I mean, we would hit pea gravel in his driveway with broomsticks, and I don't doubt that's how I became a pretty solid hitter in baseball, certainly in Little League, but that carried all the way through. Carried all the way through high school, as I did hit, you know, around 420 my senior year. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, I just remember Ansel loved that song, Maggie May, and maybe it was from driving in that old black Cadillac to the beach, or I don't know where it was that I would have heard the song. Maybe just had it playing in the house or whatever it was. But man, Ansel was a good one, you know. And he worked at a place called Timken Shaving Ball Bearings, and I don't really know exactly what that means. I will say that when I talk about the kind of the rise of the Trump voter, I don't know if Ansel would have been one, maybe. But I will say, like, he was a solid working class man who worked his butt off and then spent all his time coaching Little League and things like that. And Ansel lost his job, you know, in the, I don't know, 90s, I guess. Maybe early 2000s, somewhere around in there. He lost his job at Timken. His job was shipped overseas, and then as a part of his package, a part of his severance package in order to get it. He had to fly to he had to fly to Mexico to train the people that his job went to. And you know, I you can understand why those middle class workers are pretty angry at the economic system, which fueled Bernie Sanders as much as it did Donald Trump, to my current students' disbelief. But anyway, Maggie May, really, I jumped all around with that one. This next one still kind of fits in that era, even though it really wasn't a song from then. Drive for Daddy Gene, Alan Jackson. And the reason why I put this one on here and I kind of put it in this area, this time area, is because Ansel taught me how to drive. I learned how to drive first a riding lawnmower, and like, I don't know, I'm not proud of the fact that I ran the riding lawnmower up a tree or into a tree. But then I learned how to drive a stick shift, or at least began to learn how to drive that. This old, I don't know, what color was that truck? What kind was that truck? I mean, old school truck in a field, which is where the Garden Web apartments are now. It used to just be a field, and Ansel would let me try to drive the truck around through there. Drive for Daddy Gene is also something that I think about with my own kids. Now they're all three drivers. Isaac got his permit. He's not much on it right now. I think he's only driven once in the last 2 weeks since he's gotten it, but he'll settle into it. But anyway, the next one on the list is Eternal Flame by the Bangles. And ooh, I mean, we still belt this one out, but this one just takes me back to when me and my sister Jody, we would just sing our hearts out, and we would have the cassette player, and we would hit record, and we would record our own selves singing. We would sing Debbie Gibson, man. We would sing a lot of Tiffany. I could have put Could Have Been on here, or I Think We're Alone Now, any of those, but went with Eternal Flame because that one still stands the test of time. Still one that I belt out all the time. And those just days of, you know, I probably my brother, he might've still been in the house. He's 6 years older than we are. And so, or 6 years older than I am. And so of course I was in eighth grade when he went to college. And so probably was the case, is that right around. And then was we were belting that out. So, yeah, that was good times. The next one jumps a little bit ahead into kind of the high school days. I've talked about this story before on the Madness, but Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas. And the reason why I put this one in there is because my friend and now boss, we were listening to some Ice Cube, and we were listening to some whatever, you know, some NWA and some stuff like that back in the day. And his dad, for whatever reason, I'm glad about it, he said, if you'll get rid of all your gangster rap, son, then I'll take you to the Sound Shop, which was a record store a CD store at the mall at the time. And he said, I'll buy you whatever you want. So we went on a shopping spree to the Sound Shop, and we were just looking at all the different kinds of stuff. And as we picked up the Kansas CD, I'm serious, he'll tell you the same exact thing. As soon as we picked it up, you know, as soon as we put our fingers on it, Carry On My Wayward Son started blasting on the store, you know, sound system there. And so we were like, oh man, you know, it's meant to be. But we got all kinds of stuff there. We got Jimmy Buffett, we got Grateful Dead, we got all kinds of classic rock, Tom Petty. Man, we just really stocked up with what would become our musical influences and preferences. And so really, really cool memory. Every time I hear that song, I think about that. Got a couple here. I put Satellite by Dave Matthews because I remember this one time where, you know, me and Gabe, probably it might have been Josh Carroll and maybe Josh Howe around in there too, but we were talking to these girls from North Mech, maybe, I think, because we had probably met them at a Young Life camp, you know, but we were talking to them and listening to Satellite, and, you know, we thought we had it going on and all this kind of stuff. But we did. We went to see Dave Matthews in 1995. My friend Topher worked at the Sound Shop, that record store I was telling you about. And so he had like the early entry into Ticketmaster. And because before the internet, you know, he had, I guess, I don't know. I'm actually curious about how that system worked now. Maybe he had early access to the internet because it was right around 95. But anyway, he got us all second row tickets of the old Charlotte Coliseum where we went to see Dave Matthews play in December of 95. And I definitely remember that. And same like with going to Jimmy Buffett. And my brother, my older brother, when he was in college, he would take us to see some Jimmy Buffett shows. And so I put Son of a Sailor, I think, on the playlist. High school still, like a lot of high school memories here with this music, but the Grateful Dead song, off the, oh man, why am I blanking on this? American Beauty, the album American Beauty, the track Box of Rain. And it's just a beautiful song. It's one of those songs that makes me think, and that's what I like because I like lyrics that challenge my views on things and makes me consider. But I just know about Box of Rain because it took me exactly that amount of time to get from my friend Gabe's house in Riverbend neighborhood to my house, my mom and dad's house in the 90s when I would go over there, like I was supposed to be home at 11 or whenever it was. I knew I could leave at 10:54, 10:53 and be home, and I would put Box of Rain on, and it would take me exactly that amount of time to make sure I was home on time. We were joking a little bit this week, me and the guys. We have a thread, 1996 thread, 96, and we were joking about how many times we told our folks that we were staying at Gabe's. And yeah, I know my mom listens to these podcasts, so I won't say too much more, so I won't cause her too much grief. But yeah, of course, we were always staying at Gabe's. Same place, same memories. Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses. We were Kress crazies. We took off our shirts and painted letters on our chests, Chargers. And if we had other people, we might go with an exclamation point. I think we did a number sign and a one one year. But we would paint those letters on our chest, take our obviously with our shirts off, go out and be the cheerleaders essentially for the Crest High School football games. And that was some fun times, man. Junior year, we won the state championship. We were really good senior year. We didn't quite make it all the way. But yeah, it was whew, that was some good times getting painted up and getting hype and then heading on, because we really did love, we weren't just there for the social part of the game. We were really there to cheer on the Chargers. And then we'd go to Shoney's usually after the game and whatever, probably drink coffee and smoke cigarettes or something because we were pretty cool. But yeah, Rocky Raccoon, I got that one on the list as well. Same place, so many memories from that Riverbend basement. We really were most of the time at Gabe's. But Gabe's dad Harvey put us onto some good music. Obviously, the Beatles is the one I'm talking about now. I still listen to Rocky Raccoon, obviously, as it is on my playlist. My junior year, I got my ear pierced the day that I was a junior marshal. And man, I had my hair all slicked back, smooth looking, And my brother and his wife Ellen, Josh and Ellen, they got married in June, like June 3rd, I believe, of 95. And I just remember their wedding. And so I put "What Are You Doing with a Fool Like Me" by Joe Cocker on the playlist because man, their wedding was just really, really something awesome. It was uptown Greensboro, I believe, like on the top floor of some place. And I mean, it was bougie for sure. Like I was wearing, white gloves, I think, definitely a tux with tails, white vest, exactly the same thing I wanted to wear at my wedding, at our wedding. And but like the rehearsal dinner, I'm a rising senior in high school, you have to understand. And then, Ellen's friends were all college graduates, recent college graduates. And I don't remember their names, but like I remember eating some chocolate cake with this one bridesmaid person. And then this other one like took me home after the wedding reception, took me back to my parents' hotel, I guess. Because the reason why I guess is because my favorite Uncle Mike, he was helping me get access to the open bar there, and I was drinking cranberry and vodka, I believe, and Cape Cod, is that what those are called? But yeah, so I was feeling good at the wedding, but I thought I had, like this 17-year-old kid who thinks he's got it going on enough to be making making the inroads with these recent college graduates from Davidson College. So I definitely was delusional at best. Ramble on Rose is the next song that is on this Melodies and Memories, and I've talked about this one before as well. Like, we bought the Grateful Dead, probably skeletons from a closet in that sound shop, shopping spree. But I didn't quite understand the Grateful Dead. I mean, I love the music, but this one time I was in at UNC Charlotte, and I was sitting in a dorm room with my friend Joe, and probably Topher was there. And these Joe and Toph definitely both had dreadlocks, and all these girls were in there. I just remember they were from Baltimore. I don't know why I remember that, but they were from Baltimore, and they were all dreaded up too. And like, it was some super hippie stuff going on in there. And like, I mean, just in terms of outfits and hairstyles and all that kind of stuff. And I hadn't experienced that. Like, that wasn't going on at Davidson College, and we were sitting there listening, and Ramble on Rose was playing, and these girls were singing along with it, just beautiful voices. And it's the first time I really connected with the Grateful Dead. Like, I never saw those girls again in my life. And but that moment of them singing that song, I was just like, oh, I get it now. Oh, I know. I was like, Dave Matthews is up again here, and I put number 41. And that's because of course, hey, David, man, I don't know if I ever told you, but like, this album Crash is the one for me, the one that really got me in. Even though, like, Under the Table is the one that we saw the 95 tour, Crash is really what hooked me into Dave Matthews, because this guy, like Jay, he would let me borrow his Volvo, and it had a CD player in it, and he would let me drive it because my old Mustang was just a piece of junk. And I would drive it to Charlotte and sometimes stay overnight. This is one of the many reasons why Davidson didn't work out for me. But yeah, I appreciate you, Jay. And I didn't know if I'd ever told you that or not, David, but number 41, and especially the way that it goes into Say Goodbye. Wow, I mean, I'm not sure. Like, in terms of transitions from one song to the other on an album, it'd be tough to find. Tough to find a better one. More from Davidson College life, and the song Melissa by the Allman Brothers. My friend Greg I was pledge class president for Sigma Phi Epsilon. Really, like, I always have been a leader. I just have been. It's just how I do. And but I was pledge class president. I didn't make it all the way. You guys know about the Chronicles of this third life, and how in my second life, or really my end of my first life, I guess is how that would be dated, how Davidson didn't really work out for me. I was in a really dark place. Looking back, I don't think I realized it at the time, but I was in a really dark place. But thankfully made my way out. And thanks to my mom and Sarah, honestly. But yeah, like, during those days when I was still involved in Davidson life, we were freshmen, and we would go to different places, different eating houses. They didn't have sororities; they called them eating houses. I don't know why. And the frats and stuff. And my friend Greg would play guitar, and he could really sing. And he would sing things by Jaco Pierce. What's that song about the vineyard? Maybe it's called The Vineyard. But he would sing Melissa, and every time I hear it, I think about that dude. And staying in college life, UNC Wilmington, my friend Gabe Wisnett went to Wilmington, and then I met his future roommates, Tim and Pat, Luke, the Ashborough crew. And they had written song lyrics on their bedposts down there, and other quotes and stuff like that. But one from Ain't Life Grand, Widespread Panic. In my mind, I was a child, and it felt good. And I remember that, and that's when I began to really get into Widespread Panic. I saw my first show in April of 1999, and at the Charlotte Center City Fest. And I remember them playing "Climb to Safety." After all that I've been through, you're the only one that matters. You never left me in the dark here, all alone. I soon learned in the same area. I just kind of put all these widespread panic songs together because I could talk about 20 years of these types of songs. But along with like the Sublime song Pawn Shop and sometimes Mountain Jam by Allman Brothers, I would put on Please into Chili Water from, I believe, Live in the Classic City, because it's a good 15 minutes or so. And I have Please into Chili on this one from Widespread Panic. And I would be that guy at the jukebox, you know, if I went to, if I was shooting pool, if we were at the beach, and maybe my son Sam came down. I'm jumping around in the timeline here, but anytime I was at a place where I could put money into a jukebox, I would pick these songs because I get my money's worth. I'm sure the other people are not too glad because I'm eating up 25 minutes. But they're on there, they're available. And Gradle, like it's this weekend, 5 years ago, that I saw Panic, Widespread Panic in Durham, and finally got to hear the song Gradle and Glory, but got to hear the song Gradle live, that I'd been chasing for 20 something years. So that was pretty awesome. I do love the Widespread Panic. Been listening to the album versions of their songs and remembering about how amazing that part of my life was. But switching to the next item here is the curtain. And I think about this one because the lyrics, you know, the line headed south when in 1999 me and the crew went down to Big Cypress Indian Reservation, and it just south of the other Everglades, or right around the Everglades, and we saw the greatest concert in the history of the world. I mean, I would argue, like, definitely the greatest rock and roll concert. More people than Woodstock. You know, it was a day before with a couple of sets, and then a set on New Year's Eve, and then a midnight to sunrise set. They played for 8 hours consecutively, and just all kinds of stuff going on as a fish festival will have. What a thing. We were live on ABC, like Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve or whatever, and they played the song called Heavy Things. Late into the evening, they covered evening, late into the night, early morning, they covered Albuquerque by Neil Young, and dropped the Cheesecake reference in. If you know, you know. If you don't, it would take a while to explain. But yeah, that was Fish the first time around. And I didn't see him again until just 2 years ago. I took a really long break from Fish as they sorted themselves out, and I sorted myself out. Once I got to Garden Webb, I did get to go to out west and work on some projects with some national parks, and listening to this song called Blue Sky by Allman Brothers reminds me of those particular amazing trips, man. Those are just amazing. You know, Yellowstone Lake and massive mosquitoes and northern lights and, like, man, just all along the way, listening, journaling and readings in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and listening to Black Elk being told, talk to me, not to him specifically, but by one of the professors from Maryville College that taught me about Black Elk Speaks, and like just really, really beginning to contemplate a lot of larger things. I got Chances Are by Bob Seger and Martina McBride on the list. There was a year that I was gonna, there was a year I was, or a summer I was gonna camp out in my parents' yard. And so I got my tent and I got it all set up, and I was making a mixtape. I made a mixtape for Sarah. We were just beginning to start dating and stuff like that, or we had been for a little bit. But in the summer, you know, and so she was going back to Statesville, and I was going to camp out all night. And I put this on the playlist, and it's just one that we still think about from those days. I think I camped out one night. I don't even know if I really slept the whole night. It was so hot, you know. I'm not much of a camper. Okay. I put Spend My Time on the list from by Clint Black, because this one time I got super sick. I don't know if it was food poisoning. I think it was probably food poisoning. And I mean, I'm like in this house and I'm bundled up. I don't know. Sarah and the kids were gone somewhere. It's probably Easter weekend, honestly. It's probably Easter weekend. I know it was right around the Masters, because it was the year Phil Mickelson won it. So like 2005. So Sarah and Sam are probably gone maybe up to her parents or stuff like that. And so I had to get my dad to come and pick me up and take me to the ER because I'm puking my guts out and like all over the place, just everywhere coming out and just really sick. And I had to go in and they had to give me some potassium and some IVs of some other things. And while I was in there, I was definitely singing Clint Black, "I'm Gonna Spend My Time Like It's Going Out of Style," because I thought that was the end. There was a woman on the other side of the curtain because I was sharing the room there, and she was hollering and thought she was having a heart attack. And the preacher came in and he was about to start praying, and I was like, "Send one up for me too, preacher." My dad punched me in my arm, and she just was having gas pains, turns out. But anyway, man, I think about my kids and all the things that they have gone through when I think about the song "King for a Day," especially my oldest boy Sam. But like, dang, that song. Whew, I thought I'd be able to talk about that one a little bit more here, but I'm not able to. So I'm gonna skip to "Been There Again" by Acoustic Syndicate. Sarah got me dinner with them in 2007, and for my birthday at the Visual Light, I think, in Charlotte. And we ate with them before, and then I got to go backstage, had a beer with them, and then I was able to suggest some songs for the set list, and I got to ask him about the meaning of this one, "Been There Again," which is about two versions of himself. Steve McMurray wrote it, Big Daddy, and he wrote it, and it's about two versions of himself, the one that he sometimes projects that he wishes he could be, but then he settles in at the end. What a great song. But I do remember that and all the beautiful times I had with Acoustic Syndicate over the years. I remember sitting on the deck at High Rock Lake, my brother's and Ellen's lake house, and whatever Spotify mix he had on, this song came on called "House of Stone" by a band called Mandolin Orange, now Watch House. And I was like, man, I really love that song. Let me look them up. And then I dove into the Mandolin Orange catalog, and I haven't come back out. Like their music, especially when it's just the two of them, it's just Andrew and Emily. Like it's just beautiful. The lyrics are amazing and haunting. A lot of them about the early passing of his mom. Andrew writes the lyrics, but Emily plays violin and sings along, and it's just unbelievably beautiful. And I do hope that they're about to come out with a new album here pretty soon, although I know they got babies now, and so I'm sure that makes songwriting a little bit different. Ryan Adams, La Cienega. I think there's more to that title, but man, that one just reminds me of these days of Broad River Community Church and the friendships that were there and the relationships that we had, and like all the time together preaching this thing called community. And I became a leader in that place too. And man, it sucks, like that stuff just faded away. And so I don't know, man. I don't know what was real about all of that. I know it still stings. Especially, the main guy that was there that kind of, I don't know, man. Whatever. That sucks. But I still think about it, and I'm getting to the point where I'm more and more comfortable with it, and reckoning that part of my life. But yeah, maybe that goes along with Ryan Adams. He kind of fell off the positive train there too with his treatment of some people. But to a different part then, like after that, when the Church of Six was born, the Church of Six was born, and with my friend David sitting here on the front porch and just listening to Jason Isbell and listen to a lot of different kinds of stuff. But man, when the song called "Danko Manual" would come on, and we were hitting the IPAs super hard. I mean, this was towards the end of the Second Life, when I realized that I needed to back off the juice there, which has been almost 3.5 years now. But man, those were good days. Man, those were good days. We would just sit there and love being together, and golly, man, singing. I still sing that Danko at the top of my lungs. I'm fist pumping right now. Like I'm just thinking about thinking about those days so much, like being out in the backyard, walking around up onto the top slope, wearing our Chinese hats and being all kinds of crazy, man. Dancing trees and stuff, man. Ah, those days, man. Glory, glory, magic and glory. But anyway, hopefully my guy is getting ready to move a little closer to me. I'm so glad, man. Indianapolis be a good fit. I hope it all works out. Tones of Home, Blind Melon. I could go back to the 26. Let me go back and add one in. I forgot to put it in there, but that's a Redheaded Stranger by Willie Nelson. Because for many years, when we would go down to Hilton Head, either on the drive down or on the drive back, me and Matthew would be in the car together, and we would listen to the album Redheaded Stranger, and we would just be singing it. And same types of memories, man. Like, I don't know. I'm make you feel sad for me. Make you feel sorry for me here, but I'm kind of a lonely guy, you know. I'm a lonely guy these days, and I miss those days of the brotherhood. I don't know. I don't know. I guess the season will shape itself as we go. I think about Tones of Home and my friends Nora and Hillary, and I just remember snapping beans on a screened-in porch when Sarah and I went down for a weekend with them. Do we go to a concert there? Are we just going to the lake? I don't even know. I don't think we even went to a concert. That's odd. But we're going to reunite with that crew in July at the in Asheville Panic. So I'm excited about that. All My Mistakes, Avett Brothers, and just a few more. I know I'm rolling long today, but you know, if you like the DT Madness, then you don't care anyway. But All My Mistakes by the Avett Brothers, and that is a pandemic song. Sydney and I would drive. We'd just go for a drive. We would drive up 74 towards Asheville. We would drive for about 20 minutes and get to where the equestrian center is now, and turn around and drive back. And we would do it during sunset. And we would listen to some different songs. And usually, All My Mistakes was on there, and we would sing it real loud. And Sydney would put these little flourishes in there that she does, singing harmony, but like with just these different runs, nothing major, just a slight little twist on the way that they sing their harmonies, and just beautiful. And it's a beautiful song too, you know. I've messed up a whole bunch, but I'm here, you know, I'm here. Heroes by Acoustic Syndicate is on there. Acoustic Syndicate played our first Webstock, even though it was freezing cold. And as I was hanging out with the band beforehand, they asked me what I would like for them to play, and I just asked them to play Heroes. Because it's a song that Brian wrote. It's about his dad, and about his and Fitz's dad, and I got him to play it for my dad. My dad was sick, beginning to deal with the sickness at the time, and so yeah, I always think about that when I hear that song. About to Run off of the Fish. It's really a Trey album. Called Ghosts in the Forest, that he wrote about one of his friends that he lost. And the song About to Run, just it really encapsulates my own dealings with trauma and my own dealings with healing from the trauma. And so I do think about that one. And then finally, Fish. We'll just end with Fish. I didn't actually put this one on the list, but I thought that it's got to go here, really, to wrap it up. And it's a song called The Howling. And honestly, like when they play it live, I'm always glad when it gets past the first part, because they do like the whole crowd howls and whatever. I mean, that's okay. It's fun. It's fun. But then when they really get into it, it is, oh man, like it is just a groovy jam. I don't know what y'all know about me. I'm the mayor and all this kind of stuff. I'm a 20-year public educator, you know. Whatever, all these kinds of things. But I'm sitting in here, and I've got this, you know, I'm in the living room today because the house is empty, and you know, I've got this big mandala, is that what it's called? Wall art that I'm looking at, and my Nag Champa is burning. I'm definitely barefooted as always. Like I'm not a really. It's no secret that I really wish I was a hippie, you know, like that I've got that blood in me, and that if I could just hop on tour with Fish, if I could just hop on tour with whatever whatever hippie band is out there, then that is what I would do. If I had all the money, or I guess if I just knew how to make really good heady grilled cheeses, then, but I can break it down too. Like I've got a little bit of rhythm, and I just want to tell you that at the New Year's run this past year, me and David were up there at Madison Square Garden, and we got floor tickets the first night, and they played the Howling at some point during that first night, and I think it was the second set opener, and it is, 6, 7 minutes, and it is the most like the what I was cooking, I ate whatever it is, what all the things are. It's the best dance moves, combinations, the flow that I've ever laid down. And I'm 46 years old, man. I was 45 at the time. And no magic juice that I needed. I was really breaking it down. And I just wanted to tell y'all that. Like, I do. I really do have it going on like that. So anyway. Some melodies and some memories. Church of Six production brought to you by the Bucket of Life, the Rope of Relationship, the Foundation Tower of Stone, the Wall of Belief, the Token of Hope, the Magic Rock times one received and one given. Nothing divine is desperate. And in order to be, try never to seem. May all your circumstances serve to awaken compassion and as you go, teach peace. Don't forget to believe, y'all, and be live. Grace and peace, my friends.